love and peace, and what is it? And would you elucidate in either personal or general terms, according to how you think it a better description?
What is the necessity to distinguish between love and peace?
The necessity is that one can live with love and not have peace, and also the other way around. How are they interrelated? Do they promote one another?
If they don't, they don't. First of all, what do we know about love? Or what do we know about peace? Because if we know them at first hand, that is, experientially, then there is knowledge. If we merely grasp them intellectually on the basis of descriptions by others, there is no knowledge and there is no experience. As long as we are depending upon definitions and descriptions, there will not be experience. Why is it so? For a simple reason, that there is an illusion of knowledge. In one of the basic scriptures called Upanishads, the first Upanishad, what is called first Upanishad, Isha Upanishad, there is a surprising statement. I wanted to say shocking. And that is, they who are devoted to ignorance go to hell. Always. It's obvious. But they who are devoted to knowledge go to a worse hell, greater hell. That sounds illogical, defies common sense. And I've been reading a book which says common sense is nonsense. It defies common sense. How is it that knowledge leads me to deeper hell, denser darkness? Because if I am ignorant, it's possible sometime or the other for me to bump into an enlightened person who might bring home to me that I am ignorant. And it is possible that I might begin to investigate and find the truth. But if I have grasped what is called knowledge, that is, a description or a definition, then there is the illusion of knowledge. Further progress is completely blocked. That is, there is, since this itself is confused with experience, There is no progress towards experience. We have been told that this is love. If I scratch her back, I love her. If she gives me some idli every morning, she loves me. In this description, the whole thing is lost. And we have never been able to investigate whether there is love in me, whether I have really experienced love. We are caught in this, in descriptions and definitions. Love is long suffering. You know the famous biblical quotations. Love is long suffering. Somebody said it. Maybe he was right. I don't question him. But I question our sanity in grasping this definition. Love is long suffering. So, if I love you, I must go on suffering from morning till night. The more I suffer, the more obvious it is that I love you. Oh my God. It's masochistic. I know at least a couple of people, yes? You know also. Who adhere to this, to the letter. They go on complaining from morning 4:30 till night 10:30. Whoever comes near them, this complaint and complaint and complaint against the husband, complaint against the children, complaint against the neighbor, complaint against God, complaint against the priest, complaint against the church. But I love them, and therefore I suffer. Oh. Whereas, if I really and truly love you, I do not suffer. If there is love in my heart, there is no suffering.
What I'd like to know is, what I'd like to know is the Vedas, they teach the inner experience of the self as sat, chit, ananda.
Ananda.
Ananda is bliss, is not love.
Never mind, sir. Never mind, sir. We'll come to that. We'll come to that. We'll come to that.
So love must be differentiated.
Ayo.
It is a recognition of what I feel towards the unity of my human beings. So I've got love. I don't have to have any feelings. I don't have to have any
feelings. Oh no, you may not have feelings. The feeling is something different.
But what I want to look is between what the Veda teach and what love is.
Yes, that's precisely what we are coming to. Whether it is a description in the Bible or a description in the Veda, another book, it's all same. It's all same. The moment we grasp that description, we have missed the truth. They have used words. Maybe they themselves were unable to put into words what they experienced as love. Is it possible?
Possible.
Right? Maybe in their struggle to express, they wanted to express what they experienced as love. In their struggle to express what they experienced as love, they said something. They said something. In what is known as, you are reading it now, what is known as bhakti. In Indian yoga, that is the yoga of love of God, it is said that sometimes, watch very carefully, sometimes when the devotee feels that he has forgotten God, even for a moment, and therefore he feels that he has been separated from God, he suffers intensely and cries and shouts and yells and weeps and bitter tears. But that is when there is recognition of the forgetfulness of God. That's different. That's not love. The present love recognizes a past error. That's different. Though it may be related to love, that is, if I love someone very dearly, and if I have knowingly or unknowingly, wittingly or unwittingly, hurt that person, then I am torn within myself. There is anguish and I cry out. But in love is there suffering. Or, to go one step further, is love a description of it? Can love be described at all? If it can be described, is the description love? Because if the mind is caught in the description, it is not looking even at you. While I am looking at you, I am trying to figure out whether I conform to the description or not. I am not even loving you. This is like driving into one of these traffic lights and then suddenly says, my God, I've forgotten. Green go or red go? I must go and look up the book. It may be too late. So, can I be engaged in a relationship where this love is possible? And at the same time, let my mind wander into these descriptions so that my relationship with you, whom I love, may strictly conform to that definition, so that I can be sure that I do love you. This is an absurd situation. So, first of all, one has to dump all these definitions. That's all. And then, it doesn't matter whether it is in relation to you or in relation to him or in relation to this cat or to the dog that chases us on the South Beach. Is there love? Right? I am merely looking into myself to see if there is love. I don't know if I can recognize it. Because, once again, recognition means matching it up with some kind of a definition. So, I abandon this foolish quest. But I recognize one thing very clearly, that is, when I do not love you, that's very easy. When I am jealous, I know that there is no love in me. When I am afraid, I know there is no love in me. When I am clinging to you, I know there is no love in me. When I feel I possess you, I know there is no love in me. That's easy, isn't it? These are recognizable characteristics, qualities.
Most people would think that if they were jealous, it was because they loved someone.
Oh!
I know my dad felt that.
Yeah, that's the whole tragedy. If I am jealous of somebody in relation to you, then you feel both happy and unhappy. Unhappy because our relationship is sour, and happy because you think I love you. That's it. The whole thing has been vitiated by definitions. One man says, if I love you, I must be long-suffering, which means I should even encourage other boys to look at you. You know, long-suffering. It doesn't matter, I want you to be happy. Go there, go here, do this, do that. And the other man says, no, you must be jealous, otherwise you don't love her. This is a ridiculous thing. Whereas I suggest, leave all these things and look into yourself. Is there love in me, in my heart or not? Which means, in that heart there should be no room for any other emotion. Right, sir? There should be no fear, no hate, no possessiveness, no jealousy, no anger, no lust. When all these are eliminated, then what remains is love. And that is also peace. And that is also Satchidananda. There is no difference at all.
So that is quite clear then, that one is in investigating one's personal feelings.
That's it. No, madam. Not personal feelings. One is investigating, full stop, period. That's risky, because what you call good emotions, love, peace, and bliss, and all the rest of it, they are indefinable. They are not their definitions. So what we are interested in, really, is in ensuring that these other things are not there. We can recognize anger very easily. I cannot recognize love, I'm afraid. I can recognize hate. I know when you hate me. I don't know when you love me. When you love me, if it is real love, maybe you have a sense of possession towards me.
Swami, isn't that like there is the emotion of love, but there are all sorts of other things that go along with it? That's
thank you very much.
Sort of clinging onto it, so to speak.
Thank you very much. That's what we learned. In some places in India, they would serve you tea in some sort of ashrams and things like that, where they have to feed 500,000 people every day. There is certainly some tea in that thing, but there are lots and lots of other things. Water, for instance. I wouldn't call that tea. You take a bucket of hot water and pour a cup of tea into it. There is tea in it, isn't it? Right? So, if in your heart there is love, these things should not be there. Otherwise, it's like a sort of vegetarian who says, so, you know, I eat vegetables too. Once a week he takes some salad. The rest of the three meals a day is meat. So he's a vegetarian. that is not vegetarianism. This is not love. If there is love, it cannot coexist with this rubbish. That is what probably St. Paul meant when he said love is long, etc. All his verbose definition. Where there is love, there should be none of these other things. Anger, hate, jealousy, ill will and all that. Even fear. So, I recognize these things and I scrupulously remove them. Can I then say, now I have found love, I love. The next minute there is a fall. Why? Vanity has crept in. I love you. Do you know? I love you. And then the next sentence is, I love you more than you love me. Trouble. The next day there is trouble. So, I am not interested in anything else. I am merely watching to see if there is love. If there is love, right? I don't know. But I recognize the least shadow that is cast on it by any other emotion. And remove it. And I also recognize that as long as the mind functions in association with this body, it is possible for the other emotions also to come up. Fear, jealousy, all these can come up. And so, for the rest of my life, I have only one job to do, to ensure that these things don't come, don't arise. There is absolutely no guarantee. You and I may be, there is absolutely no guarantee that once I have recognized anger or hate or jealousy and removed it, it wouldn't come up again. Because that from which it sprang is still there, the mind, functioning through the body. What do you mean by anger? What do you mean by hate? A feeling or an emotion that arises in the mind related to the body. And as long as the mind related to the body is still there, it can again arise, it can again throw up all this. When you switch the light on, the darkness is gone. But then as long as the switch exists, it can be switched off. And so, for the rest of our lives, all that we need do is to be watchful to ensure that this thing doesn't come up again, that the mind doesn't throw up some more.
But why did you say before that love is within your heart? Why did you use within the heart?
All right, doesn't matter, you say some other...
Yeah, it does matter.
No, sir. Right, thank you. There is a beautiful expression in the Yoga Vasishta, which is a code in the teachings of Ramana Maharshi. And that is that there are two hearts. One is the physical organ, called the heart. And the other is consciousness.
Right.
That is also called heart because that is the heart of the entire universe. Consciousness is the heart of the entire universe. So, when we say love must be in your heart, it means love must be your consciousness. In your consciousness there should be love and room for nothing else. which is another implication, which is interesting too, and that is that not only do I have no other emotion, what one calls negative emotion, but I do not allow my consciousness to dwell on these negative emotions, which means even if you project those negative emotions towards me, I don't recognize them. Then you are love. Then you are love. When you are love, you are peace. Copious.
I always thought that the half of the cosmic universe was not within the subtle heart, but the heart of the universe is resolved within a bindu, a point of no magnitude. Call it heart if you want to, but it's not then the subtle heart.
Yeah. That's all. These are all words. Pure consciousness. In that consciousness there is no other emotion which can obstruct, veil love. Then there is peace, and that peace is not disturbed. That peace is ananda, that peace is bliss, that peace is sat, that peace is chit, everything. And that is love. As long as it is not described and defined. Is that what you wanted?
Yes.
More or less clear. She has fallen asleep.
Swamiji, you said that we should eliminate these emotions. So say, I look into my heart and see all these things, hate, jealousy, so forth and so on, etc.
As long as they are there, there is no love.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. What does one do next? I've now looked and here they all are. What do I do now?
What do you want to do now? What do you want?
What do I want?
If you want to be jealous, please do. Go ahead. If you want love, they should go.
Yes, I think that's what I'm asking. What do you do next? You've decided that you want to eliminate these things.
Where are they and what are they?
Sorry?
Where is jealousy and what is jealousy? What is jealousy? When does it arise? How does it arise? Let's take one, jealousy.
Jealousy. It usually arises when something that you think you'll follow, that you're planning to, is in danger of being taken away from
that. Exactly. Precisely.
And then you like it.
So that I don't love that thing or person, I want to possess that thing or person.
Right.
Since I want to love and not to possess, I'm not afraid that thing or person might be taken away from me,
But now suddenly I feel scared.
No, scared or jealous, it's all same. Now, I'm not scared, I'm not jealous that that person or thing may be taken away from me, because I don't want to possess that person. I love that person. And jealousy drops away. Fear drops away.
It's not something you can just
say
to yourself,
though, is it? No. It's not saying to yourself. It's becoming completely aware of that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Completely and intimately aware of that. Jealousy arises when I want to possess that person. I don't love that person then. I want to possess them. The moment I look at it that way, jealousy drops off.
So you have to be prepared to let that go.
I mean, that's irrelevant. What do you mean, prepared to let that go? Merely become aware of this. Don't project into consequences. Merely become aware of this. I am jealous, which means I want to hold on to that person, possess that person. No. That's not my intention. I want to love. And it drops away, quietly drops.
I mean, you don't get forced in these things away, you only watch them.
You can't force, sir. You can't force. What can you... that's where Julie would come up. You know, supposing a husband is jealous because others are fond of his wife, can he tell himself, no, I should not be jealous? Then it is adding one more problem. He is jealous. And now he sort of what is called, he is cross with himself. And probably in that mad mood he might do something which is atrocious.
I want to love.
If something else comes up, I look at it. I try to understand why does this arise. And as he says, it's easy to find out why it rises at all. I want to be loved, and I don't want to get caught up in all this. Dismissed.
So it's like recognizing projection.
Correct. And then when that is clear, it is then that you become aware of the fact that it is the mind itself that projects, as you say, all these so-called emotions. That is, temporarily the mind itself is transformed into this, into jealousy, into fear, into attachment. The mind itself temporarily assumes those forms. And as long as it keeps assuming those forms, it cannot be pure love. And when it is pure love, these things do not exist, coexist. But you are aware that as long as the mind is there, it can once again throw up all these silly things. So you watch, observe carefully. That's it.